Morning, everyone. Let's grab our Bibles. I sure hope you brought them. Turn to the book of John. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 3. Let's all stand in reverence to God's Word. John chapter 3. Verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, have eternal life. Verse 16, say that with me, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Amen. Everybody here believe that this morning? Amen. Beyond any shadow of a doubt? I hope so. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Most kind and gracious Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Lord, we do thank You for Your Son Jesus that died on the cross for our sins, Lord, for the sins of the whole world, and Lord, that through Him I can have eternal life. Lord, the whole world can have eternal life through Your Son Jesus, who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. All we got to do is believe in Him, confess Him as Lord and Savior, and we can be saved. There's no other name given under heaven by where a man must be saved than that is given, that's Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You. I ask You to be with this service this morning, be with each one here, work in each heart, Lord, what You would have done. Lord, if there's one here that does not know You as Lord and Savior, that before they leave this building, they would come to realize that they are lost and that they're undone and that without You, they will spend an eternity in a place called hell. And Lord, we just ask that You would work in their hearts, that they would realize that they need You. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. According to the Word of God, God is light, He's spirit, and He's love. God is love. Now, we say, I love this or I love that. You know, I really love a good ribeye. Amen. Woo, man, we use love so easily that it doesn't mean what it really is supposed to mean. This love the Lord had for us is agape love. That's a selfless love. He gave His Son for us. That's a love that it just, it never stops. What would I say? For lack of better words, being awesome to me. It's just amazing. The very essence of His nature is love. You know, God is not loving, by the way. He is love. It says that, tells us that, 1 John 4:8. God is love. The very essence of His nature is love. All that He does, all that He shows is His love, and can't do anything that is not love. Listen, He's not going to treat you bad. God is going to show love to you no matter what. That's the facts. What the Bible says about God's love. 1 John 4:16, His love is knowable. His love is a believable love. It's something that we can experience. We can experience His love. If you've ever trusted the Lord as your Savior, you know what that means. If you at some point in your life has said, you know what, I realize I'm lost, I realize I'm undone, I realize I'm dying, I'm going to a place called hell, I'm going to be eternally separated from God. If you've come to that place in your life and you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, then you've experienced His love. And it's an awesome feeling to know these things. He loves in spite of our sins. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While you were yet just a sinful individual, did not care about what God did, didn't care about what Christ did, guess what? He died for you. You see, the Bible tells me that He died for the sins of the entire world. Gunner's back there yelling just a second ago, and they put a plug in his mouth. Listen, all of his sins the Lord died for. They're gone. They're washed away. Well, we go out and sin, Brother Jim. That's true. I do. Who in here don't sin? Raise your hand. Good. Listen, none of us go through this life not sinning. Those sins are paid for. Washed away as far as the east is from the west. When you trust the Lord, all of that is gone. Well, yeah, but if we go on sinning, isn't that wrong? Well, yeah, it's wrong. But you know what? I got saved. My spirit can't sin. My spirit don't sin, Sister Annie. Can the Holy Spirit sin? What do you think, Brian? No. Holy, God can't sin, can He? What have I got living within me? I got the Holy Spirit living with me. I can't sin in the Holy Spirit, but my flesh can sin. All that fleshly desires we have sins. But see, the more we walk in the Spirit, the less we'll sin. Amen? If we're following the Spirit, less we'll sin. When I die, is my flesh and blood going to heaven? Nope. It's not. My spirit is, though. And then one of these days, when the rapture happens, the catching away, when Christ calls the saints home, guess what? My body's going to meet in the air with my spirit if I'm gone before that. And you know what's going to happen? In the twinkling of an eye, everything's going to change. It's going to go from this sinful, old, nasty, fleshly body to a perfect body, just like Christ has got. Is sin going to enter heaven? No. No, it's not. It's not going to. You see, He loved us before we could love Him in return. 1 John 4:19 says that we love Him because He first loved us. See, His love for us is shown in the mercy that He shows toward us. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick. It's not real far away, just a couple of books. Chapter 2, verse 4. It said, "But God, who is rich in mercy..." Oh, I like that part. "God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us." See, He loved me so much that He gave His Son for me. His love has no ending. It's everlasting, by the way. Boy, ain't that good? Listen, people go through life and they get, "Oh, I just love you. I love you so much, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you." And then, boom, what do we hear about? We hear about them divorcing. What happened? But see, you ain't gonna worry about that with God. God doesn't cease loving you. God will always love you. He has an everlasting love. I've got people that won't even look my direction in my hometown. You got that problem, Martin? Yeah. I got family that don't like me. They don't want to be around me. But you know what? God's love's everlasting. I don't have to worry about that. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Let me read something to you. John 6:44 says, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Do you know God's got to draw you? That's a fact. But you know what the Bible says over in 1 Peter? It says God would that all would come to know him. See, God draws all men to salvation, but not all people accept salvation. It's our choice. We're not born. Well, I'm born going to heaven. Problem is, I ain't met nobody born going to hell yet. You know, I've met some people that said, "Yeah, I'm born. I'm saved because I, you know, I believe I was born that way." But I ain't never met nobody that's told me, "Well, I believe I'm born going to hell, and ain't nothing I can do to change it." You know, I ain't met nobody. I'm seriously, hadn't met a soul says that, because that ain't true. You see, God draws all men. He don't draw them all at one time. But he draws all people. I had people come to me and say, "You know what, son, you need to get saved. You need to get to trust the Lord Jesus." And it's like, whatever. But you know, one day in 1984, I was in church in Texas, in Corpus Christi, and a guy preached, and when he was done, I'm like, "Wow, I need to get saved." The Holy Spirit talked to me and let me know, "Hey, I need to trust Jesus." And it may not happen tomorrow. I was really worried about whether or not I'd make it till tomorrow. I thought, you know, I need to get this done now. Tyler, I'll use Tyler for example. We're going down the road the other day in the pickup truck. He starts talking about salvation and, "Well, you know, I think I might better get saved. I ain't sure I'm saved." We'll talk about it later. We go in and eat a hamburger. We get out and leave. Well, I do want to talk to you about that eventually. We pull into a parking lot because he's got to switch vehicles. He said, "You know, I might ought to talk to you about that right now." He's like, "Hello." It dawned on him. The Holy Spirit let him know, "Listen, you might not make it till later on. Today's the day of salvation," you see. Everything good is of God. That's James 1:17. Especially love. God set the example of how to love by his love for us. See, the best example of love is when we love someone in spite of how wrong they have treated us. Well, that's hard to do, Pastor. It is. I ain't going to stand here and lie to you. When somebody has just flat out done me wrong, it's hard for me to love that person. Ooh. But you know what? That's what God did for you. "Well, yeah, but I didn't do those." Yeah, you did. You were enemy of God. But yet he loved you anyway. That's what God tells us we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love them anyway. Which, who read the sign coming in this morning to the church? What's it say? Can you remember? Yeah, what's the church missing? I put out there, what is the church missing? Or what's missing in the church? That's what I wrote. What's missing in the church? Question mark. And everybody always puts "you are." But that's not necessarily true. Because you're here. There's some that are missing that should be here. That's probably at NASCAR, or just laid up in the bed because the time changed and they went to bed at 12 and it's really 1. You know, I realize that. Then there's some that's sick. That's why they're out. I can realize that. But here's what's missing in the church today. Commitment. That's what's missing in the church today is commitment. It's not people coming in. It's not that maybe we don't even, maybe we're to that point that, hey, we do love people in spite of how wrong they are of us. But what's missing is commitment. See, you look at how committed Christ was to us. He was committed all the way to the cross. I love the song. He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to call anybody. All he had to do was say, "You're done." He could have quit right then and there. But he didn't. He stayed right there on the cross. Oh, that's... The devotion of his love is found in one small word in John 3:16. So, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He so loved our world. See, that consists, the world is all the people. He loved each and every one of them, but he loved all those that wasn't even born yet. I wasn't around when Jesus was hanging on the cross. I wasn't around when God said, "This is what we're going to do." By the way, it was determined before the foundations of the earth that Jesus Christ would die for your sins and your sins and my sins. It was determined, Brian, before you were even thought of being here. Ain't that something? That's how much he loved us, and that's how committed he was to earth, to us. The world and all mankind, not just a select group, by the way, it was for all people. Don't ever let nobody tell you it was just for this select group. No, it wasn't. It was for everybody. I don't matter if you're black, white, Indian, Hispanic. What are you, Hispanic? You Indian? Well, what are you? Say, "I'm an American." I'm picking on you. It don't matter where you come from, what race you are, period, dot, dot. Jesus shed his blood for you. And listen, you are no different than anybody in this room. Martin brought up something in Sunday school today. He said, "You know, at one time I just thought I was a little speck of dirt." You know, in the scheme of things we are, we're just a little speck of dirt. But you know what? Jesus don't see you that way. Jesus sees each one of us individual for who we are, and he also sees for what we can be. Remember, I don't remember when I preached this now, about Gideon. He didn't see Gideon hiding behind from the enemy. He didn't see Gideon as a farmer. He saw Gideon for what Gideon could be because of him. You see, that's the way Jesus saw us, and he was committed all the way to the cross. Boy, I love that. That's good. That, to me, it's like, hey, I'm a child of the King. See, the Bible says he made us just a little lower than the angels. Woo, man. We're the crown of his creation. We're not losers. I don't care if you're wearing orange and in jail, if you're listening to this message on the internet one day, you're not a loser. In Christ, you can do all things. Man, that's good to know. And by the way, I'm special in Christ. They use all these special words, reconciliation and propitiation and all. You know what? Jesus died for me, shed His blood for me, brought me back into the good graces of God, did not give me what I deserve, but gave me what I didn't deserve. How committed should we be to Him? We ought to be committed to Him. We ought to be committed to what He's told us to do. And that's to, listen, for one, right off the bat, the church is given a commission by Jesus Christ Himself to go out and tell others about Jesus, bring them into the church when they get saved, baptize them, and disciple them. That's what we're supposed to. We're also supposed to go out and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if it's hid, who's it hid from? It hid from her? She's saved. It ain't hid from her. She's already saved. It's hid from those that are lost, which they're blinded by this world. Because why? They use alcohol and they use drugs and they use pornography and all of this stuff to drown out the truth. That's exactly what they do. The devil uses that so that we don't see the truth. We've got to be out telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Right up front, we got to get committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's two things that happen. That's a super blessing when we get saved. Promises. God tells us if we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll have what? Eternal life. That's the main promise. Well, I like that one. We'll have eternal life. But He also tells us, Jesus said, John 10:10, I come to give you life. Well, if you accept Him, you've got life. But He says, I come to give it to you more abundantly. You want joy? You want peace in your life? The closer relationship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, the more abundant life we have. But let me tell you a little secret about eternal life. You see, for a long time, many years, to me, I got saved and eternal life was when I die. I'm going to have eternal life. The problem is I didn't realize it and it never was really explained to me. Once I received Jesus, my eternal life started right then and there. That's when it all took place. October 1984, I started living my eternal life. I could have all of the power that God has, all that power that brought Jesus out of the grave, all that power that He keeps me in His hand. Because I've had people try to tell me, well, you can send your salvation away. No, you can't. If you can, you're stronger than God. You can't do that. You're kept in the hand of God by His power. That my eternal life started right then and there. And listen, I thought about that and I'm like, wow. I got a whole lot more to be happy about than what I thought. Not only that, listen, He walks with me every day of my life. Every step I make, He walks with me. He told Joshua, He said, everywhere you go, every place you put your foot is holy ground. You know what that tells me? If it's holy ground, God's there. Amen? Everywhere I go, God's there. See, that's blessings we don't always think about. Things that go on in our life, we don't always even think about that. But He's right there with us. Every step of the way. All the way up to that last day when they got you possibly laid out on the table in a hospital. And they're shaking their head like, man, I don't know what we're going to do. Hey, I don't have to worry about that. Because I know where I'm going. The second my old heart stops beating, I'm in heaven right then and there. Not tomorrow, not next week, not this soul sleep that I hear from people off and on. Oh, you just go rest for a while and then one day you... Nah. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord immediately. That means the second I die, I'll be with Him. Woo, man, that's a blessing. That is a blessing to me that makes me even happier every day of my life. When I think of all that, how committed should I be to Him? I ought to be real committed to Him. Because, see, He didn't just die on the cross for me. He's with me all the time. He's committed to me. He says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's with us every day of our life, every second of our life. We ought to at least be committed to Him. Let's all stand, Miss Judy, if you'll come. As we prepare for an invitation. Brother Craig.